as a person, as a hockey player, I want to take another step and be more of a leader and be an even better place and player and help the team win the cup.
Welcome back to Home Ice Advantage. I'm, of course, your host, Colin, and 3 days ago, I talked to you complaining that I had nothing to talk about. I was vaping, I was vapping, I was whatever you want to say, galaxy braining to the moon and back. Hell, I went to Mars trying to find something to talk about. I finished the episode, I uploaded the episode. Within hours, Tony DeAngelo signs. The next day, Sebastian Aho signs, and then Don Waddell speaks to the media for the first time since free agency. So, today's episode, some might say an emergency episode, is going to be all about Sebastian Aho's birthday surprise, Tony DeAngelo's redemption arc in Carolina, part two, and Don speaking to the media. It's got a lot to cover today. Without further ado, roll the thing.
9,393 days of frustration. And on the 9,394th day of NHL existence, the Carolina Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
Welcome to Home Ice Advantage, with historical perspectives, modern-day deep dives, special guests, and a healthy mix of good, bad, and or hot takes. This is the best place for you to learn about your Carolina home teams.
I just want to say thank you, and I'm looking forward to this challenge. It's an honor, and I think we're going to do great things.
We're going to start with the news that we have all been waiting on for almost a month since it was able to actually happen. Sebastian Aho signs an extension, 8 years times $9.75 million. It's a modest raise for Sebastian, with just under $1.3 million more per year than his current deal. But most importantly, it locks Sebastian down, if you include the last year of this current contract and then the 8 years, for almost a decade, 9 years. And there's a lot that this deal means. First of all, it gives us the long-term franchise player, which we already had in Svechnikov, but now we also have it in Sebastian. This contract has been reportedly in the works since prior to the open of free agency on the first day of this month. It's finally done. We can all clear our minds and enjoy our offseason a little bit more. But I do want to talk about what this contract means. Now, you know, betting money was on Aho signing a long-term deal. And the thing is that what really happened today, or not today, it was yesterday, but what really happened yesterday is that the Carolina Hurricanes handed Sebastian Aho a pen and said, hey, go ahead and rewrite the record book in whatever way you want. So, for the next 9 seasons, he will wear a Carolina Hurricanes uniform. I'm assuming within the next 3 to 4 seasons, he'll have a C on his chest. And because he is a talented player, he will soon dominate the Hurricanes and, let's be clear, franchise, so include the Whalers in that, record book. If you look at the playoffs, Sebastian Aho is already first, and this is franchise record, in points with 58. In goals with 23, with assists at 35, and shorthanded goals at 2. He's third in playoff games played and seventh in power play goals in the postseason. Again, has 9 more years. So he's just going to be extending all of those records. But in the regular season, he only holds one record for the franchise, most shorthanded goals at 16. He's third in hat tricks with 7 in his career so far, and then 5th in franchise history in points with 468, goals at 218, and assists at 250, I think. I don't know. Math is hard sometimes. Guys, Sebastian Aho will not only be a Carolina Hurricane for the rest of time, but depending how these next 9 years go, he could easily become, the most impactful player to ever have a Canes crest on their chest. Bar no one. Eventually, on the ice stats, on the ice production, he will eclipse Rod Brind'Amour. He will eclipse Eric Staal, and he will eclipse Ron Francis. Before we move on, I do want you to hear from the man of the hour himself, the one and only Sebastian Aho.
This is the place I want to play. Obviously, since starting from the front office, the organization has taken a huge steps over the course of the last 5 years, and obviously we feel like we're building every year. And Roddy as a head coach, you know, he's the guy I want to play for. You know, all the teammates around me, and obviously the amazing fan base made it pretty easy. Actually, the only choice I had in my mind to make another contract with the Canes.
Now we're going to toss it right over to General Manager Don Waddell on why he thinks Sebastian Aho is such an important player for the long-term future of this franchise.
Well, if you look, as Sebastian just said, you know, 5 years ago, we were starting to build. And when you look at the pieces we put in place, Sebastian's absolutely the number one piece that's not knocking any other players, because we get some great players, but Sebastian's been there each and every night throughout the regular season and the playoffs. And, you know, when you're building your team, you know, we all know Sebastian as a great player, but he's a great person. And those are the kind of people you want to surround yourself with, because when times get tough, these kind of players that dig down and make it happen for you. So this is an easy decision for us to sign Sebastian to 8 years, and we're very pleased with it.
No surprises there. Of course, Don Waddell would be supportive of the deal that he legitimately just signed. But before we move on to Tony D'Angelo, I wanted to share a moment that came out of this media availability with Sebastian Aho. I'm going to play the question and then the answer, just full. The reporter you'll hear from is Ryan Hinkle, who is formerly the site manager for Canes Country and is now the beat reporter for the Hockey News at Ryan Hinkle on Twitter. Great guy. Without further ado, here was a wholesome moment.
Obviously, a $78 million contract is probably the best present you could get. But how, other than that, how has your birthday been going? How has this kind of day been for you?
Yeah, it's been a great day. Obviously, birthday and extension could be a lot worse. And obviously, I just had a dinner with my family, and honestly, whenever my mom cooks for me, it feels like birthday to me. So it's always a pleasure to me.
And just kind of circling back what you said about dinner, what was the meal that your mom made for you?
It was some salmon and vegetables. Pretty simple, but hit the nail.
You've heard it here first. The simplest, easiest way to Sebastian Aho's heart is salmon and vegetables. Moving on. For almost a month, literally actually just over a month, we've heard that the Hurricanes were in the process of reacquiring Tony D'Angelo. In case you didn't know, for some reason, what has gone on, it was the 24th of last month. Ellie Friedman was the first to report that, hey, it looks like the Flyers in Carolina are working on a deal to send Tony D'Angelo back to North Carolina. Tony D'Angelo was a former Hurricane, of course, and traded to the Flyers during the draft before that, for picks. And it was what it was. Ultimately, TDA wanted more money than Carolina thought he was worth. They dealt him to his childhood team. Carolina got draft picks, win-win on both sides. Everyone will go on happy. Except that the Philadelphia Flyers just hired a new head coach. His name is John Tortorella. He has totally never been so upset that he ran to an opposing team's locker room to have fisticuffs. That never happened. Anyways, Tony D'Angelo and John Tortorella, and this is going to shock some people, as no one could have seen this coming, didn't get along. I know. Absolutely no one could have predicted this, but it's what happened. So ultimately, after being sat in a few games, it was clear that Tony D'Angelo's future was not in Philadelphia. And it looked like Carolina was more than willing to have him back at a discounted rate, of course. Originally, the Flyers were going to retain 50% of the contract. I don't remember what random round draft pick they got. Or maybe it was just the 7th round prospect. I don't remember. But the NHL stepped in and was like, yeah, nah, you have to wait some time here. Basically, the NHL said, well, how do we know you're not trying to circumvent the cap by signing a player? I mean, by trading for a player who you just traded away, and now you're retaining contract. It was a whole thing. None of this matters anymore, because ultimately that's not what happened. Carolina put the deal on hold where they were trying to figure out what's going on with Erik Karlsson, and Philly would go ahead and just buy out Tony DeAngelo. They didn't want to have to wait anymore. Ultimately, it's going to cost them more on their salary cap than if they had just waited for Carolina to be done with whatever they're trying to do. And Tony DeAngelo became a free agent. And then yesterday, or I'm sorry, the day before yesterday, the day before Sebastian Aho's birthday, the Carolina Hurricanes announced that they signed defenseman Tony DeAngelo to a one-year, $1.6 million contract. And no one was surprised. Absolutely no one was surprised. Maybe at the value of the contract. Seems like it could have been less, but whatever. I could go on for another little bit here about how weird this entire situation was, but I honestly think it's better to hear from Tony DeAngelo himself. I will give Tony DeAngelo this, if nothing else. He is entirely open with the media. Maybe too open at times, but entirely open with the media. So for the next several minutes here, you're just going to hear TDA in his press availability after signing, just talking about what's happened. The first reporter you'll hear from is Chip Alexander of the News and Observer.
Hey, Tony, welcome back.
Thank you.
Just your thoughts, quick thoughts on returning to Carolina. And a year ago this time, you were going to Philly, going back home, playing for your hometown team. Everything seemed like you were pretty happy about that. Just what happened there in Philly? Why weren't you quite the fit that you wanted to be there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the coach and I didn't wind up not fitting together. I guess that'd be the main reason for leaving the team and obviously being a free agent again, the way it worked out. But at the same time, I also enjoyed playing in Philly, if that makes any sense to you. It was a dream, you know, a dream of mine from when I was a little kid to play for the Flyers. So to be able to do that and spend the year there and be in Philly and get to know the organization, the people that worked in there was great and a great time, but didn't work out. And then as soon as it wasn't working out, we kind of had an idea that if I was going to go anywhere, it would be back to Carolina if possible. So glad it worked out that way.
Hey, just to follow up right quickly, why was it such a good fit in Carolina 2 years ago?
I think the way the team plays kind of fit my style more so than I ever have before. I think it was, a lot of things would be different this time around, I'm sure, but just the way the team was set up and the way I was able to come in off a year off and play. And I'd probably say coaching more than anything, the way I got along with Rod has more than I've got along with any other coach that I've played for in my career, but that's the kind of guy he is. And I feel like we were just kind of a good match for one another. So looking forward to getting back to that kind of situation.
Yeah, Tony, you know that a lot of people, a lot of fans, whatever, they've all had different opinions of you one way or the other, it seems like. How are you able to kind of put aside all the noise and just play hockey and just try to do what you've got to do?
Yeah, I mean, I could care less what the people think. I had a great relationship with the Hurricanes fans, which wind up being awesome. But you got to remember the first game I played in Carolina. Also got, there were some pretty loud boos when I got announced for, on the opening night. So it just finds a way, you know, once they get to know you, I said that last year and, you know, it kind of became true. Once they get to know you and watch you as a player and see you on the ice, obviously they see us more on the ice than off the ice, but they kind of make their own assumptions on you. Everybody seems to have opinions one way or the other. That's been, especially with the way my career's gone, it's kind of people go one way or the other. But I don't. Everybody's allowed to have an opinion, and I don't mind. They could say what they want. But I was happy that in Carolina, and one of the big reasons for wanting to come back was the way the fans embraced me there and the team and the organization. So it was nice, and it'd be nice to be back.
The next voice you'll hear is of Ryan Hinkle of the Hockey News.
Have you had any discussions with the team, kind of where they see your role being this year? I know over the last year and this offseason, they've added a lot of talent on the blue line with you as well. And it's kind of almost a little bit more crowded than it was the last time.
Yeah, no, it's definitely crowded, but that's a good thing. I think you look at the guys they had last year, you know, I watched, once my season was done, I watched the whole playoffs and you watch Burns and Slavo. And obviously everybody knows about Brady and Pesh, how good they've been together the last couple of years. So now you bring me back and you have Orlov and Chatty played really well for him last year. So it's never a bad thing to have too many good players. But as far as what's going to go on there, how things are going to shake out, that's up to the players first off in camp, but the coaches will decide that after that. I have no idea. Just hoping to come in and do do whatever I can to help the team take the next step.
I'm just curious. It was no secret that, you know, the Canes kind of had a trade on the table to reacquire you this offseason. It seemed like things kind of fizzled out when the league kind of got involved with the timing of everything. I'm just curious from a player's perspective, were you aware of like that kind of that you were involved in that trade talk and you were kind of, were you waiting at all for it to just go through or kind of how was that from a player's perspective? I'm just curious.
Oh, I had a pretty good feeling that we were going to, that they were going to move on from me in Philly there. And a good relationship with Danny Briere and Keith Jones here. Really, really good people. And they're going to turn this Flyers organization around at some point here. But I had no idea. Yeah, I first seen the trade to Carolina from Elliot Friedman. So I had, nobody was calling me or anything. I don't know what happened there. It's none of my business, really. That's as far as the teams go and the league goes. But just waiting game for me, obviously. And then once it was, you know, went the buyout way, you become a free agent and start talking to teams again. But like I said, we kind of had a pretty good idea of where we'd want to go. There was a few other things that were going on, but ultimately decided to come back to Raleigh.
There is a different reaction to Tony DeAngelo returning to Raleigh. I don't know how to explain this. Like, the temperature has been torn down. It's not that the same mentality isn't there. It was there the entire time he played here, and the people who don't like TDA will not like TDA, and that's not going to change. So it's interesting to see him come back and have that pre-existing relationship with Hurricanes fans. I don't know. This is going to be one of those storylines I keep my eye on, but I kept my eye on it last time. It's just, no matter what, whether you love or hate Tony DeAngelo, you cannot admit that it's a fascinating case study. Just his entire career, really. It's just been, it's been a story, right? Like, nothing in Tony DeAngelo's career has been predictable at all so far. And you could say that's because of the type of guy he is. I don't, that's not where I'm taking this. But the story itself is one of the most fascinating careers of this era of the NHL. Just the, I mean, multiple buyouts, multiple trades, the locker room stories followed by just other locker room stories, but from like different ends. There's no middle ground with Tony DeAngelo. You either love him or you hate him, and that's basically it. But today's episode ends with the one and only, the head of Carolina's front office, Tom Dundon. I'm just kidding. I meant Eric Tolsky. We try to have fun here, right? Obviously, I mean Don Waddell. And the same time that Sebastian spoke to the media, Don Waddell spoke to the media. That's why you got to hear from him previously on why he signed Aho to the 8-year extension. But there was other questions, because you don't often get to just ask the general manager of the team questions, that were unrelated to Sebastian, but I think you should hear. And this first one is regarding the future of the team in the eyes of Don Waddell.
Well, like we said, you know, we've gone 5 years to make it to playoffs, and I think we're right in the heart of our window to keep moving forward. And when you surround yourself with all these good young players, nothing against our older players of Jordan and Brett, but you know, it's nice to have these young guys locked up under contract, knowing that we can continue to move forward. You know, when you look at our forward group and you know, having the number of the guys that we've signed with Andre and Sperry, and you know, we'll have Jarvis coming up and Marty that just coming up here. You know, you lock these guys up for a long term, you put yourself in a great position that you can work around the edges to fill out the holes you need, but you know, you got your key pieces in place. So I think, you know, we're a franchise that doesn't want to win one cup, we want to try to win 10 cups. And so you got to put yourself in position to compete for the cup every year. We think we can do that for numerous years coming up.
I will now throw it to the one and only Corey LaViolette of Athletic and North State Journal fame.
Don, I know this was a priority for you above all else. Can you give us any update on maybe the other guys that were in the same situation as Sebastian with a year left, and if you've had talks with any of them and any progress there?
Yeah, no, we've reached out to most of our free agents after next year, our UFA guys, and have had conversations. Nothing, we're not close on any of them. You know, obviously, you know, it's a different market for different players, and, you know, we like to keep our best players we can, but, you know, unfortunately there is a salary cap, which we all know about. We're not a budget team. We're fortunate to have an owner spend whatever the league allows us to spend. So we've had some initial talks, but we're not close to anything right now.
And then finally, Don Turtleneck Extraordinaire Waddell was asked about the offseason so far and if there's anything else in the kitchen still simmering up. Is there any big deals we're going to see soon?
Well, when you go in the offseason, you always look at where you like to add to your team and what you'd like to do. And I think we've had a very good offseason, you know, not only signing the players from our team last year that we needed to bring back, but also the new additions of some of the free agents we added. You know, my job as a general manager is to stay on the phone every day and continue to look to see if we can make our team better. Hard to do right now. This obviously, we're pretty close to the cap. We got a little bit of money right now, but, it's only July. So, I can't say anything's going to happen between now and the start of the season, but certainly we'll continue to talk to different teams and free agents and see what shakes out here in the next 6 weeks or so.
To be honest, I still think that there's going to be another big type of trade. One, you can point to Brad Pesci and all the one-year remainers and the storyline we've been following this whole time. But I still think this team wants to get better in their top six. The Tarasenko deal tells me that they want to get better in their top six. And they don't have the cap space to sign anyone, not that there's really any big names left on the open market. Unless, what do you want to do? Try to get Patrick Kane, who just had double, what was it, hip or double knee? It doesn't matter. Double something you don't want to have double of. And there's no one real left. So there was going to be a trade in my eyes. Someone who you love will get traded and will probably give up a first round pick because while we love our draft picks, we are more than willing to give up a first round pick for someone. We do it all the time. And I just don't know what's happening next. It's funny. I was on the phone with an old work colleague of mine who follows hockey loosely. And he asked me, he was like, so what's going on? Why did they get TDA? And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, well, like, don't they have enough defensemen? He had just listened to a Adam Gold segment on the subject. And I was like, yeah, so they currently have seven NHL defensemen, and all seven of them are debatably top four defensemen on most teams in this league. And that's great, first of all. It's an embarrassment of riches, right? But I have no idea how that's going to shake out, whether it's a trade involving one of the seven, or maybe they're going to play D'Angelo and Chatfield in different roles, depending on the team. If they need high scoring, they put D'Angelo out there. If they need a defensive shutdown, they put Chatfield out there. No one knows. I'm sure somewhere in Tim Gleason's home, there was a notebook that is now full to the brim with ideas, but ultimately, until training camp opens proper and preseason happens, we'll have no idea what they want to try out, and then we won't know who's going to have first priority until opening night. We just won't know until then, and honestly, again, a trade could still be coming, or they could just rock with the seven defensemen they have now. Honestly, I'm fine with rocking the seven defensemen we have now. It gives us a little bit of coverage. It does make me wonder why you would sign Dylan Coughlin, but that's a different conversation about our AHL affiliate, not existing. But these are all topics for another day. It has been a jammed pack episode of Home Ice Advantage. Thank you. If you've made it all the way to the end, I would ask you to do just one thing. Share the show or review it. One of those two things. Just share the show or review it. I have been your host, Colin, at Colin Home Ice on Twitter, because I'm never going to call it X. There is still some exciting things on the horizon with the Home Ice Advantage brand, but I kind of wanted to get this episode out for, I think, fairly obvious reasons. Until next time, go Canes.